was good. They never called and said, hey, how come he's not playing, or, you know, what's going on? You know, they asked us how he was doing from time to time, but they see him as a down the road type player. I mean, you know, and with your, a lot of college guys are, they're not expecting him to come out and lead and go play in Winnipeg right away, and they see him as a future prospect, and that he's got to grow into his game, which goaltenders take a little bit longer. So yeah, I haven't talked to them since everything's gone down, but I know Jamie's happy. So I mean, sad to see Phoenix go at the same point, that, but he understands that you know, he's got a good opportunity here to take another step and you know, prove that he's the number one guy.
How surprised were you at Phoenix leaving?
How surprised? 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, I knew teams were interested in him. I knew teams were tracking him. And like I said, as we get better players, as we recruit better players to our program, we're going to get into this deal where kids are leaving early, where these young men are leaving early. And it makes it difficult, because even like Jujar left last year, you know, you're just starting to get going, and you're, you know, it's like building anything. You're building the house, Dirk, and you know, you just start to get one side of the house up, and all of a sudden, well, no, we're going to take that away from you, you know. Got to start over again. So, but I understand that. And as we recruit better players, we're going to run into this. So, but like I said, I overall was a little bit surprised, though, at the end of the day, because I still think he could have developed here. He still needs to grow in a lot of different areas. And but I think Washington, they just want to get him in their system and working with their goalie coach, and that's why they pulled him out.
In this day and age of unbelievable technology and people able to watch and keep track of players from anywhere in the world, how much do you think still the idea of John McGinnis and the people that he worked with to get to the GLI going back in the day to expose college hockey to a broader market, how much do you think Phoenix's play in the two GLIs that he played in helped him become more noticeable to like the Capitals?
Well, big time. And his freshman year, you know, when we won it. I mean, I don't know if you're referring to that year
or this year, both. But that year especially.
Well, no question, because a lot of the pro guys, they, you know, they like to go to the big tournaments or the big ranks, the NHL ranks. And obviously, Phoenix played very well his freshman year there, and then, you know, followed up in that outdoor games this year and played extremely well. So,
What did he give up? Regulation goal in four games, is that right?
I think maybe two. Michigan State scored two. I think it was, wasn't it 2-2? They went ahead of us 2-1, so... anyway, but no, he didn't give up many. But, you know, we've had, you know, a lot of NHL guys come up here. I know Washington Capitals were up here a couple times, Tampa Bay, Chicago. You go down the list. So we're getting more and more people following our team as we get, you know, better players. So, and once that happens, you know, they might be coming in to watch Blake Pietl or Alex Patan or David Johnstone or Shane Han or somebody else. And then all of a sudden you see the goalie and go, wow, we got to put him on our list. And that happens a lot.
Sure.
And, you know, I can tell you a lot of cases where teams came in to watch certain players and ended up liking another player and ended up signing him or drafting at some point. So, but we do get a lot of exposure. Our team really does. And with I give Billy and Damon a lot of credit for bringing in some top-notch players and some recruits. And it's going to happen. And we have to understand that. And that's part of the game. Part of our job, and not job, but goal, is to help these players achieve their dreams. And that's to play in the National Hockey League. And we'd like them to get their degree and then go have their whack at it, but you're going to run into kids who have the opportunity to leave early. So,
what about, you mentioned Blake Pietila. I'm sure he was one of the three that you're chatting about as far as...
I'm not going to divulge mine.
I know you're not, but I'll divulge for you, I can imagine. What's his status right now, and do you expect him to really kick it in for his senior year?
Well, Blake's doing great. You know, he had some minor surgery on his wrist. I don't know if people know. You know, a lot of people was wondering what was wrong with Blake, but Blake played all year with a slight injury, and it was his wrist. And boy, when your wrist is bad, it can make it tough. But he had some surgery to clean some things up, and expect him to be full go when we start track A as far as our workouts, our summer strength and conditioning workouts. But no, Blake's and the one thing you have to understand about New Jersey is they're pretty good. Like, you know, teams are different. New Jersey's they're patient. You know, they let their guys play and develop, and you know, they take a few guys out early that they think are ready, but I think Blake's all set to come back. I mean, it's a long summer, things can change, but just given the course of our conversation, Blake has been great. I know he's excited to come back and have you know, his best year ever, and not only be the best player on our team, but try and become the best player in our league and one of the top players in college hockey. And he definitely can do that. I mean, when he's healthy and on his game, he can be a very dominant player. So we're looking forward to getting Blake back, and I think Blake's looking forward to coming back and finishing his career on the right way. And you have to remember, like, he's a young freshman. He's a true freshman. He came in at 18 years old, so there's no rush for Blake. Pro hockey will be there for him. He'll have the opportunity to play and play a long time. The thing with him is he's got to, like I said, become a dominant player here and then go off and have at it.
What about recruits coming in, Coach? What can we talk about? What can you talk about as far as the new guys coming
in? Yeah, that's a good question. We're tracking our recruits now. I know our assistants, myself, been busy out watching a lot of hockey. And we're going to release. I have another release on Wednesday because this past Wednesday was a second signing date. And we have at least one new name to add to that list. I can't talk about them today, but that'll come out Wednesday. But, yeah, we're tracking a lot of our guys. You know, Indianapolis, a lot of teams are still playing in the playoffs now. So I'll start in B.C. We got D'Amico Hanoon and Mason Blacklock. They're playing for Vernon, and they will host the Royal Bank Cup, which is the championship of Junior A Hockey Tier 2 in Canada. And they were just eliminated in the B.C. Finals, so they'll have a couple weeks to get ready. But we have some players still playing in the USHL. I know Matt Roy down in Indiana's really had a good playoff defenseman coming in, and they're waiting now. I think they're going to play Dubuque in the second round of the USHL playoffs. Joel Esperance in Sioux City, he's playing in Sioux City. They just knocked out Omaha in a little bit of an upset, so good for Joel. He's going to move on and continue to play there. And like I said, we've got a few other guys still playing and in the playoffs, and I got to be careful because I know a couple of them we signed, a couple of them we didn't. Mm-hmm. So, but overall, it's fun being able to go to these rinks and watch these kids play. And like I said, we'll release that list again on Wednesday, and we'll talk a little bit more in depth on where they're at in their season and what they've done up to this point. But we're still a little unsure how many guys are going to bring in, and you know, if a couple guys will defer and go back and play another year junior. And how we make that decision is, you know, based on the year they had. Some of the players have had injuries. You know, and we want to make sure the players come in here and they're what we call over ready, so they can step on and be like a Shane Hanna, be one of the top players in the league, and really make contributions to our team instead of just being in and out of the lineup every weekend.
It is a tremendous freshman class that we had this past year. The contributions were immediate.
Sure.
And if we can get something close to that or even better, I mean, that is, I mean, the enhancement of our team should be obvious, I think, to everybody.
Well, and I think it will. You know, we lost some good seniors, but we think we're bringing in some very good freshmen that hopefully can come in and exceed, you know, what our seniors gave us this year. And that's what you're trying to do every year. So the outgoing class, hopefully those freshmen can come in. And, I mean, they're only going to be freshmen, so they're not going to come in right away and lead the team. But to complement the team and be able to play with Blake Pietel on a line, like Reed Sturrows did this year. Like, Reed's a good example. You know, he had a slow start, was in and out of the lineup. Then the light went on. He played with good players and was able to keep up and fill a role with those good players. And that's what you're looking for out of these freshmen coming in. So, you know, can we have three really good lines, and can we stick? And that's the way I'd like to do it, or we'd like to do it as a staff, is to try and put one freshman with two other forwards who are established and good. As long as they can handle that and play with them, then you've got something going. Then that freshman doesn't feel like he's got to come in and lead the team, but he can come in and play with two pretty good players, and they'll you know, groom them and lead them along. So, yeah, we're excited. We're excited about the guys we have coming in, and excited about the guys we have returning, and just excited overall about our schedule and what's going on at Michigan Tech Hockey.
Well, we'll talk about the schedule in just a little bit, but some of these guys coming in and some of the guys that have been on the power play now, and I know our power play struggled for a lot of the season, got better towards the end.
Really, really good the second half.
Yeah,
that,
really
good.
Really turned around. Do you see that even getting better and more consistent and more confident out there next year?
Well, I do, and it just all starts with a guy like Shane Hanna. Mm-hmm. Like, we had lost Steven Seigel you know, the year before. And we were looking for that replacement, and we didn't quite have one. We tried one player, and we thought he was ready for it and wasn't. And it's hard to throw a freshman into that spot because you're going to touch the puck a lot. You're going to get a lot of puck touches on your run. And I thought Shane struggled a little bit, maybe a little Christmas, but then as he took off, our power play took off. So it's no coincidence. And Reed Sturles did a pretty good job in front of the net like Jujard had done the year before. So, but I really do. I mean, because you got the pieces in place with a David Johnstone and a Tam-